iTech recording system in place. My name's Ann Watanabe. I'm a deputy hearing examiner for the city. And we are here on a pre-hearing conference. This is for the appeal of Foss Maritime and Port of Seattle from an interpretation by the Department of Planning and Development. So, right now, the hearing is scheduled for July 23rd. And my main purpose in having the pre-hearing conference this morning is to talk about scheduling. I know that there are some there's a motion to intervene. I've gotten responses and a reply. I expect to simply rule on that by hopefully the end of the week and let folks know what's going on. But for the time being, I'd like for us all to just assume that everyone is going to be participating and we'll figure out a schedule that is workable for everyone. So, first thing I'd like to do, I guess, is go all around the table and find out who all is here, who's representing whom. Yeah, lots of lawyers.
we'll start here.
We'll start with
great. I'm Jack McCullough here appearing on behalf of Foss Maritime Company.
And I'm David West, also appearing on behalf of Foss.
Pat Schneider on behalf of the Port of Seattle.
Tracy Goodwin on behalf of the Port of Seattle.
Josh Brower on behalf of a group of maritime and industrial businesses who are planning to file a motion for intervention. And I'll get that motion due within 7 days.
Oh, all right.
Eleanor Baxendale, City of Seattle.
Kristen Boyles with Earth Justice representing the Soundkeeper organizations.
Okay. Matt Baca also with Earth Justice representing the Soundkeeper organizations.
All right. And
Andy McKim from DVD.
Coral Garnick with the Seattle Times.
All right. So, as I mentioned, my intention was to talk about the schedule. I don't know if the parties had other matters that they needed to urgently bring to the table this morning. It's not looking like it. Yes.
We'd be prepared to discuss intervention if that would be helpful for Your Honor, or.
Well, you know, I think at this point I'm not looking to need oral argument on that. Apparently I'm going to be receiving another motion for intervention. And I'm sorry, Mr. Brower, when did you say you would be filing that?
Within the next 7 days.
Okay.
As soon as I can.
All right. Well, my intention is I'll go ahead and rule on the motion that I've got pending. And then, you know, we receive the next motion for intervention and the responses. All right. I'm sorry, gentlemen, there are not enough seats here. Well, there are a couple of seats there.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well,
I know where my legs are.
As part of the scheduling, the city intends to file some motions to dismiss. There are 34 claims, and I think that there are some that either misstate what the appropriate law is or are not within the hearing examiner's jurisdiction. So we would expect to file those shortly.
Okay. Well, that's kind of segueing into what I wanted to talk about, because I am expecting that there would be some dispositive motions. And, you know, with a case of this nature where it's an interpretation, frequently there are issues that are raised that are subject to, you know, that are as a matter of law. And I don't know if the parties have given some thought. I started trying to work through my head going backwards from the July 23rd hearing date, the time necessary for dispositive motions. Mm-hmm. Ms. Baxendale, I guess I'll start with you, since you volunteered that the city is planning to do so. Do you have a sense of the timing for that?
We could probably file them in the next 10 days.
All right. So if that were to happen, so perhaps by the 13th, is that what we're,
which is Saturday.
Is it?
We're not going to file it then.
Right.
We would at least claim until the month.
How about the 15th?
That sounds good.
Well,
What about the other parties, the appellants? And I don't know if
we don't have any motions.
Have any motions. Mr. Snyder?
No motions anticipated at this time. I know we do have some scheduling issues with vacation time for a number of attorneys.
Okay. How about the July 23rd hearing date? I guess I'll back up to that. Is that going to be an issue for any of the parties at this point?
No.
Okay. No. Mr. Browers? Okay. Well, let me try this on for size. We'll see how this works. If I were to set a schedule that requires the dispositive motions to be filed by the 15th of June, responses 10 days later, the 25th, replies by July 2nd. And then witness and exhibit lists July 6th. And respondents, witness, and exhibit lists by July 13th.
The parties, presumably, Mr. McCullough, would make whatever arrangements on creating exhibits between themselves.
Yes, yeah. that would be my preference.
Yeah. And typically, if there's some challenge there, difficulty, we'd come back to you. But
right. Yeah. So, what Mr. McCullough, of course, is referring to, which is typically my practice here, he's been a few times here, is that although I require disclosure of witnesses and exhibits by a particular date, the parties frequently will agree to simply let each other see those exhibits. So there was one of the appellants, I don't know if it was Foss or the court, had mentioned discovery.
Yes, this was Foss.
Okay. Because this is, you know, a fairly accelerated schedule, I am wondering if that is still...
I'm going to hand this over to Mr. West.
All right.
Sure. So we did, 2 days after the appeal was filed, we sent Public Record Act requests to the mayor's office, the city council's office.
Excuse me. First. Could somebody run up and hit that? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Didn't do it on purpose.
Okay.
I'm sorry, to the mayor's office, to the city council, and to DPD as well. And we've received responses from each of those departments as to when they expect to provide documents to us or when they expect to let us know when they can supply documents to us. We haven't, for example, the mayor's office hasn't given us a date certain. DPD has indicated that they would make at least a partial response by mid-month, which sounds fine. And the council's response date, I believe, is in early July. In addition to those requests, which we do view as a sort of discovery intended to help us flesh out the issues in this matter, we have some limited interrogatories and document requests that I sent to Ms. Baxendale yesterday that really just focus on the bases of the interpretation, drafts of the interpretation, things particularly geared towards that, as well as the identity of other properties in the city that are similarly permitted and what enforcement has been taken against them. So Ms. Baxendale and I think are going to talk about the subject matters at least offline, I hope. And then I also asked I'll turn it over to Ms. Baxendale. We also asked for two depositions, one of Mr. McKim, who authored the interpretation, and one of Mr. Perkowski, thank you, who was the person who issued the shoreline exemption for the Ballard decision.
All right.
So with respect to, this is Eleanor Baxendale for the city, with respect to the request for additional discovery, we got those that came in after 5 last night. I looked at them very quickly this morning. We would like to file a motion in limine with respect to two basic issues that I've identified in this short time. One is there seems to be in the pleadings and in some of the requests an indication about political motivation, and we don't believe that that's a relevant issue in this hearing. The issue before the hearing examiner is whether the interpretation is correct, not what its motivation is. So we'd like to file a motion in limine with respect to that issue, and also with respect to the prior enforcement, not only because it's difficult. I can think of half a dozen cases that I've been involved in enforcing mortgage issues. But prior enforcement is, or lack thereof, is not a basis for stopping the city from enforcing in this case. So we'd like to file a motion in limine with respect to that issue. Committed to the ambitious schedule of the 15th for the motions to dismiss, I guess we'd like a few more days than that with respect to the limitation on the additional discovery. And I think that should be all right because the deposition dates that were requested are in July, and they can be met. I did check with both Mr. Bukowski and Mr. McKim, and they can be available.
Great.
I think we ought to be able to get that issue sorted out before the depositions. It might hold up some of the written discovery, but as I've indicated, some of it is just going to be very difficult to respond to anyway because of the way DPD doesn't keep the records the way FOSS, that makes it easy to respond to FOSS's request. And so we can address that and try to work that out.
All right. What I'm thinking is to go ahead and set forth the pre-hearing schedule for the milestones we've already identified and to have the discovery motions eliminated. It sounds like you're not clear yet as to when, and it may be that I get them from more than one party. What I was going to propose is that I let the discovery move along as the parties do it. Now, if you then bring motions in limine, or there's going to be attempts to quash some subpoenas or whatever, I'll handle those as they are brought up. That's the only workable way I can think of at this point, early out to deal with that. And if we run into some problems, then we're just going to have to readjust the schedule to suit that. That would be my preference at this point.
Sounds fun, guys.
Okay. Other scheduling bends in the road that might come up. I guess one thing, if there are not any other scheduling things to talk about, I wanted to get a sense from the parties. It's early days. I'm obviously not asking appellants to commit to witnesses, but I'm trying to get a sense of how much time will actually be needed for hearings. And I'm just going to go around the table, give me some sort of ballpark. Yes, Mr. Schneider.
Before we do that, just to conclude the discussion of the schedule.
Yes.
It's FOSS that has propounded the discovery request, but I can foresee perhaps not having all the issues resolved by the deadline you've proposed for having the appellants disclose exhibits and witnesses.
Yes,
I would hope there'd be some flexibility in that deadline if we're still getting documents.
Right. I anticipate that. So if we're all bogged down in discovery by the first part of July, then I'm seeing that we'll have to adjust, and that may mean adjusting the hearing date. So I will do my best to hold us to that, but I've learned too many times it just doesn't work out that way. So.
And then my other request would be, unless you do not want pre-hearing briefs, would be that you assign a deadline for simultaneous exchange of pre-hearing briefs.
Yeah, and what I'll say right now is, say, 2 working days prior to hearing. Okay. Let's say that. Okay. All right. So in terms of trying to get a sense of how much time we need for hearing, Mr. McCullough.
I think we at FOSS would have probably a core group of witnesses that would take, I'm thinking, four witnesses, maybe half a day, but there is a potentially larger group that of another five or six that could take, you know, a good chunk of the second half of a day. David, you?
Yeah, that would be accurate, I believe. It might take a little bit more than a day.
Yeah.
Mr. McCullough and I sort of have different views about how long the presentation takes. I'm a little longer, he's a little shorter. So right. So maybe day and a half, I would estimate for FOSS.
And partly, I guess, we're trying to estimate the number of witnesses. We're also trying to understand if we have perhaps multiple interveners here, how that is going to work. And one of the questions that we had raised in our response on the intervention was whether you know, it's appropriate for any of the interveners to participate in the evidentiary portion. So that could, you know, depending upon how that works out, it could sort of elaborate on the schedule some.
If I could just quickly one point on that. We only have one witness that we would be offering if we're allowed into the case.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. All right. Mr. Schneider, any sense? Would there be any overlap between, say, experts? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the moment, I don't think we're intending to call anyone that would be an expert witness in the technical sense of the term. At the moment, we've identified three likely port witnesses who would probably, the direct examination probably take half a day, plus whatever cross would be involved, and there's one or two other potential port witnesses.
All right.
But I think three with certainty.
All right. And Mr. Brower, you're probably not even...
Madam Examiner, I think we would do our best to fit our witnesses in with the port and FOSS. At most, I could imagine one extra witness.
All right. And Ms. Baxendale?
I suspect that we will have just a half a day. It will be Mr. McKim. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So... it looks like 2 days of, and maybe more. Mm-hmm. So at least at this point, what I'd like to do is see if we can hold the 23rd and the 24th of July, mm-hmm. and then squeeze out the extra time somewhere else, depending mm-hmm. on how much more time we need,
okay.
what people's schedules are.
Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else that
I think
scheduling-wise?
Not scheduling.
Okay, Mr. McCullough, otherwise.
Otherwise. Mr. McCullough here. Just understanding among the parties that service by email
is
satisfactory.
Oh, yes. Okay. I always forget to mention that. But, yes, for the benefit of others, our hearing examiner rules, and we have a system for allowing filing electronically with the hearing examiner's office, and then if all the parties agree to be served by email, that's how it will work. And
we would agree. Yes.
Okay. Is that acceptable to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. Okay. Well,
can I raise one thing with respect to the intervention that
yes.
you're considering? We would like to be able to file a very quick response or a reply brief to the briefs that were filed yesterday. We could do it by the end of today.
Okay. I haven't actually reviewed what I got yesterday. I did receive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at the very end of yesterday, we just simply filed a few declarations.
Some declarations,
but
yes.
there's no explanation of what those were because we were concerned that you would not address it today.
All right. Yes. No, that's fine. The default of 7 days for each response and reply, unless I say otherwise, still hold. So you are still within. But I would appreciate that if you can do something by end of today. That way, I can rule on this quickly, and then I'll be ready for the next motion for intervention. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Anything else?
Here.
I keep you in this hot, cramped room. Okay. All right, well then I'm going to go ahead and set out an order with the pre-hearing deadlines that we've discussed. I will expect to hear from the parties if we need to make adjustments based on the discovery schedules. So, and then I will, as I said, I'll be issuing an order on the first motion for intervention, hopefully by the end of the week, and then whenever I receive Mr. Brower's and the 7-day responses.
Thank you for that.
All right. All right. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.